Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome you all on this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, and we are glad that you're with us today on this holiday weekend. And I know that there are some that are gone this weekend, but we are glad that you're here worshiping with us today, and we want to welcome those that'll be listening later on online. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about we are clay in the potter's hands. And so I hope that will be a blessing to you. So let's begin our service this morning and stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Like clay, we arrive at this time of worship. Like clay, we prepare for this time of worship. Like clay, we enter this time of worship. Well, let's join together and do that this morning. Let's enter in and receive of the Lord as we worship this morning. Let's join together and turn in our hymn books to 454, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're going to be doing three verses of He Leadeth Me. Together there in our bulletin for our opening prayer. Loving God, maker of everything good, we are in your hands. Be with us now as we gather ourselves to seek your wisdom and strive to become the people you shape us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our next hymn is hymn number 524, It Is Well. Or you can follow along there on the PowerPoint this morning. Singing that out. That is one of my other favorite hymns that I enjoy so much. I don't know, is there any kids here? I know he's a little older, and okay, yes. We got one back there? Yeah. Somebody's pointing to their spouse and saying that. Okay. Whoa. Becky causing trouble back there, I think. Well, then let's go to our time of prayer then this morning. If you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning, we want to take a few moments to do that today. And so we'll let you do that. Someone this morning, joy or concern. Yeah.
Have joy. This is where it is George's Springer's birthday.
Ah. Yes, well, happy birthday and happy anniversary to both of them. Yes, yes. Someone else. Yes.
Jerry Hart, my brother-in-law, had shingles on his face close to his eyes. And the doctor told him if they go in his eyes, he could go blind.
Oh, wow.
So I'd like prayer for him and a silent request.
Okay. Okay, and we know the Lord knows that unspoken request. Someone else, yes.
I just want to give a report on the Michael Johnson Sr.
Yeah. Didn't get home.
Oh, really?
And they were able to find him and his wife home on a regular airplane. He's still in a lot of pain, but he's glad he called.
I can imagine. I thought maybe it was going to be another week or so before he would get home. So thank God for that. Okay, good. And he is on our list there. Well, I guess you can't see the list, can you? yes, he is on our list. And so we want to continue remembering Michael. And I should have brought my original sheet because I don't even remember everybody on the list. But anyways, but yes, we want to continue praying for Michael as he's recovering. And someone else this morning. Yes. Okay. And we know the Lord knows that. Anybody else this morning? We can lift them up, Tammy and the boys. And excuse me. Yes, so someone else this morning. Yes. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that when we were talking the other day, Kathy. Maybe you might want to fill out a prayer slip for him and we'll put him on that we can keep him in prayer. He's got COPD and it's getting worse and he's being stubborn and doesn't want to use the oxygen that he really needs. And then he's got some back issues that bothering him and so he definitely needs our prayers this morning. And someone else, joy or concern?
I talked with Dave Graham and Ellie was home, but he said she probably liked to have some visitors. So
okay. And yes, I talked to her this week, and she was in the hospital a few days. They thought she had some kind of an infection. In fact, they weren't sure what it was at first, and she was in isolation. I was on my way over to see her, and I found out she was in isolation, so I had to turn around and go home. But then they found out the one thing that they thought it might have been was not, is that was the reason why she was in isolation. And when I had talked to her, she was at home. But somebody updated me today, because when I talked to her, they were testing her for a staph infection. And I believe then somebody confirmed this morning that that's what she has. So we want to remember her in our prayers and for that issue, and appreciate that. Someone else. Yes. Yes, yes, we're going up to Grove City up there. You know, when I first, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking Columbus Grove is what I was thinking. But when I first started, I thought it was over Columbus. And they're like, no, it's up around Lima. And I'm like, oh, that's not so far. And but yes, they are. And we're looking forward to that this weekend or next weekend. So someone else. Yes. Okay, so we got a couple there, Ruth Ann. Hopefully they were able to maybe take some fluid off of her with a congestive heart, but also want to continue praying for her. And then for Diane with these kidney issues and praying for God to touch her this morning. Someone else, I know I saw other hands. Yeah, go ahead.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. And what's his first name?
Jake.
What's
Jake?
Jake, okay. Okay, so we want to remember Jake in our prayers. Definitely want to lift him up in this bicycle accident. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. And I saw another hand.
Prayers for my daughter. Her oldest daughter is turning 16.
Which one are we praying for? You know what? Knowing your granddaughter, Riley, she'll be fine. I see her at school. She's a very good student and, yes, well-behaved and everything. So, yes. But it's okay. We can pray for them, too. And sometimes I tease the kids when I hear that they're going to get their driver's license, and I kind of joke and say I'm going to have to watch out for them while they're driving. But anyways, yes, we do want to keep. But yes, moms do feel that way, don't they? Yeah, so. Someone else.
We have Jim back today.
Yes, and we're glad to see him. Yeah, and I'm sure he's glad to get a little break and be able to come and share the. Oh, by the way, and I'll say this for him. Thank you to everybody that brought food to him and your dishes, and you'll have to go through. They're on the kitchen counter there, and they may be in some plastic bags, so you'll have to sift through. If you brought food out to Jim and Kay, you may want to go and check and see if your dishes are there and pick those up. Well, yes, you can fill them back up too. You can fill them back up if you want to. So, and it'll be nice when we get into fall, because that's soup season. Yes, when it starts getting cooler. Anybody else? Yes. Okay.
Mary Sue.
You want to give an update on Mary Sue?
Well, she's in the hospital in the ER again Friday, but this morning she was doing good, so.
Yes. Yeah, and we definitely continue to pray for strength for her, you know, and it's hard because you automatically, without even thinking, want to get up and do what you normally do, and if it's just not, the strength's not there, or the balance is not quite there, then you end up on the, yes, and we've known some other folks that have battled that in the past. Yes, it's a hard time. So continue praying for strength. Anybody else? Okay. So we have several needs there. We want to continue praying for Asher. I filled in one day for Mrs. Scarpella, so because they found out the results of several appointments that day to find out the results on Asher. The latest I've heard, it was a seizure. The 7th and 8th grade computer teacher's son. So I'm not sure all that's going to be going on there or the exact results. I'll probably talk to her this week or try to text her and see more about it. But I do know that Asher did have a seizure. So on that one, Jill, Jody's sister, is doing very well, kind of back to normal now and everything. We'll know more here in the future about her treatment plan and what's going to be going on there. Jody's dad has had a few days where he's been very weak this week, last week. They found out his potassium's down. He went in and got that taken care of. The doctor said, we're just going to stop the last two treatments. We'll get a PET scan, and then we'll go from there. So I'm not sure if it's been scheduled yet. I'm thinking maybe in the next week or so he'll be getting that PET scan. So if you could remember him. We're praying for some good results and good report there. on that and appreciate all of that. So, any others? Any others? All right, so lots of different needs there to pray for today. Oh, and by the way, asking prayers for Jody, that's not my wife, and that's not Jody Cron, but it's somebody in our church that knows a Jody that just became a Christian, getting off of drugs and alcohol that was really bad, and just asking for God's healing touch and spiritual strength for that young lady. And appreciate your prayers. And I have her written down here, and I wanted to mention that today. So lots of names, issues there. Give you a chance to pray, and then I'll come and close us out. As we pause today in the midst of our time of worship, we are very grateful that we can turn to you and look to you. Jesus taught us and invited us to come to the Father and to pray in his name and to bring our needs and our petitions, and that God would hear us, and that God would move and work in ways that would bring glory and honor to God. And so today, Lord, as we lift up those that have been mentioned, we're lifting up people and situations, and we're asking, Lord, that you would move in those situations, so that not only people will find relief and wholeness and peace, but also that, God, you will be glorified through it all. And so today we lift up those that have been mentioned. We lift up this Jody, this new convert to the Lord, and thank you for some of the work that you've already begun, but there's struggles there. We just ask for your spiritual and supernatural help and strength today for her. And God, that you will just continue to help her to grow in her faith and get planted in a church and find those that will come along and encourage her and strengthen her each and every week, Lord, as she is trying to grow and be transformed as you only you can do. And Lord, as we're going to talk about later, you're the potter, and you've put her on the wheel, Lord, and you're beginning to work on her, and you're going to continue to do that work in her life. So we're thankful for that. Lord, we lift up Gary with these shingles, God, and how close that is to the eyes. Lord, we just ask for your protection there, but we also ask for your healing and quick recovery there. Lord, we pray for Michael today and lift him up to you, and for Diane, Lord, today, Lord, that you would minister in both of their lives as only you can do. We lift up Tammy and the boys, Lord, for strength and grace. We lift up Mike to you today, Lord, with the COPD and the back issues, God. We just ask for your healing touch. We ask for grace as only you can do. We lift up Ellie, Lord. We continue to pray for strength for her. And we ask for healing for this staph infection that you would minister to her. We pray for Ruth, Lord. And we ask for healing and grace in her heart, Lord. And that part that's being affected, that's causing the fluid to build up. Lord, we just ask that you would work in there And thank you for the doctors that have been working with her. We lift up Jake to you today with this accident and all that's going on there. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch. We continue to lift up Mary Sue, asking for your strength and your touch there, your healing grace. We lift up Asher, Lord, and Lord, we just ask for your healing touch and your grace there in his body, Lord, and ask that you would give Brittany and her husband the strength and grace through all of that. And Lord, we lift up, continue to thank you for what you're doing in Jill's life. We continue to ask for your healing touch for her. And Lord, we pray for Bruce, Lord, asking your continued healing touch for him. And as they do this PET scan here coming up in the next week or so, Lord, that there'll be a good report and we'll see the right kind of progress. And Lord, we're thankful and grateful to that today and for those that have been mentioned. And Lord, we lift up Riley as she's going to be driving. We just pray for your peace and courage for her in the midst of all that. And Beth, giving her that peace that she needs through all of that time of adjustment there. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for ministering to each of us here. Lord, we lift up those four unspoken needs today. And Lord, maybe there's others that were not mentioned today. And God, we just ask for your touch, your grace, your healing hand, your peace, your comfort, as only you can do in those situations. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless us and use us as a community of faith, that as we go forth, that we can continue to be used by you. And Lord, thank you that you are always working in our lives every day, and you are shaping us into the image of Christ, that we can walk in your ways and be a light in our world and be a hope for some people that need it the most that we may come into contact with. And we ask your blessing upon the rest of this service. May you just guide and direct and speak to us as we open and break the bread of your word, that you'll feed our souls and send us forth out to be your people. And we continue to lift up our nation. We continue to lift up the nations of the world. We continue to pray for peace in our world and peace in our own nation. When we hear the stories of violence and gun deaths and oh, so much that's going on, God, that you would bring peace to our nation, and that through all of this, that people will open their hearts up to Christ and find the Prince of Peace, who can change us from the inside out. And we're grateful and thankful that you are doing that and continue to do that in us, as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Well, thank you for praying with us and joining with us there to this morning. Now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. And don't forget, if you got your change or your dollars, you can throw them into the buckets today for our noisy collection. So God bless you as you give today. Thank you. join together there for our prayer of dedication. Giver of all gifts, we thank you for this opportunity to participate in the various ministries you place before this faith community. Bless these monies as we continue your work in the world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading for today is coming from two passages. Both of them are lectionary readings today. And the first one is Jeremiah chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. I think the lectionary reading is a little longer. And then Psalm 139, we're going to read verse 1 and verses 13 through 16, which is also a shortened of reading of our lectionary reading today. So let's begin with Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah received the Lord's word. Go down to the potter's house, and I'll give you instructions about what to do there. So I went down to the potter's house. He was working on the potter's wheel. But when the piece he was making was flawed, while still in his hands, so the potter started on another, as seemed best to him. Then the Lord's word came to me, house of Israel, can't I deal with you like this potter, declares the Lord? Like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in mine, house of Israel. And then from Psalm 139, a very familiar psalm to some of us, verse 1 and then 13 through 16. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit will help us to have ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, a single guy decided life would be more fun if he had a pet. So he went down to the pet store and told the owner that he wanted to buy an unusual pet. After some discussion, he finally brought home a talking centipede. If you don't know, a 100-legged bug, which came in a little white box to use in his house. So he took the box back home, found a good spot for the box, and decided he would start off by talking to his new pet to church, or he was going to take his new pet with him to church. So he decided that the centipede in the box would go with him. And so he said, would you like to go to church with me today? We'll have a good time. But there was no answer that came from his pet. Well, this bothered him a bit, so he waited a few minutes, and then he asked again, hey, how about going with me to church and receive blessings? But again, there was no answer from his friend and his pet. So he decided to wait a few more minutes, thinking about the situation. Finally, he decided to invite the centipede one last time. This time, he put his face up to the centipede's little box house and shouted, hey, in there, would you like to go to church with me and learn about God? And this time, a little voice came out of the box and said, I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes. I I think I've shared that before, but it's been a long time since I've shared that one. But I want to talk to you this morning about the potter and the clay this morning. So I can remember back in school when we were required to take art. And one of the projects that we had to do over several months was a clay project. And our art teacher had various things that we could choose from. He had like pictures on a sheet that we could choose from that we could choose to make. There was three or four of them. I don't remember all of them, but I chose to make this owl. And it stood about yay tall, just a little shape in the head. And it wasn't anything fancy, just a nice little thing. And we began with Mr. Spears, who was our art teacher at that time, began telling us what we needed to do. And the first thing we needed to do is we needed to know where the clay was and where we could get it from. We knew where we learned to discard torn off pieces, cut off pieces, or broken stuff that we had to start over with. It went in to what was called the recycling bin. And the high school still does this at Miami East because I've been there when they've done it. There's also a bin that's got dust. And I'll say more about that a little later on. And there's also a bin in there with very, very wet clay. I'll say more about that later on in the midst of this. So when you begin, it begins with a lump of clay. And does anybody know one of the first things that you do with this lump of clay? If you are a bread maker, yes, you knead it. Yes, you got to knead it. Yes, you have to knead it just like you do when you're making dough, but you knead the clay so that you get all the air bubbles out of it. Because if there happens to be an air bubble in it, even though you shape it and it looks beautiful, if there's an air bubble in that clay, it's going to go kaboom in the kiln when you heat it up. So you got to knead it. And that's where it begins at. And kneading is all about removing the air bubbles and so forth. Now, once the clay is kneaded, then you're going to begin to place it on the wheel. Now, it depends on what you're doing. Now, at Miami East, all the projects do not have a wheel. They don't use wheels there. So you got to form it with your hands and smooth it. And they have the tools to do that, you know, and so forth. But you can see on here, that's just pretty much a lump, a kneaded lump that they start off with. And they put it on there and they begin to shape it with their thumbs and their hands. And then they'll begin to use the wheel. And what happens is like, remember I told you there's a picture. And mine was the owl. So I had to begin to see it and cut it down to shape. Now, on this one, we're going to be using the idea of a bowl or a piece of vase or something like that. And so you have to have it in your mind and envision seeing it because you have to begin to see it as it's going to be finished as a masterpiece. That's important because in the midst of our lives, when sometimes we get into hectic situations, crazy situations, and we feel like we're falling apart, we don't know if we're going to make it, and so forth and so on, we got to remember that God already sees us as the finished product, so to speak, the masterpiece that Paul talks about in his writings. You are God's masterpiece. And each object is a work in progress. Each of us is a work in progress. Beginning with that mound of clay and seeing it as that beautiful piece of work or art. At times, we will not always come out just right. And there may be times when we go through times where it seems, where's God? And we wonder why things are happening. And God could be completely reshaping us in His hands. And God tells Jeremiah to tell Israel, just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. Now, if you remember last week, I talked about how we are being shaped for service. Well, today we're going to touch on that shaping aspect and a few details of it. And I just want to look at two things about it. And I don't think these will surprise us, but I hope they will bless us in the process as we go along here. First of all, and if you want to write, sorry, you're going to have to write it all down. That if you happen to grab the blank sheet here, I want you to see this. The reason why this is all true is because God is deeply invested in us. The psalmist talks about how God knew us even before our parents even knew about us or imagined us. God already knew about us. Why? Because each of us is a labor of love in the hands of the potter. Each of us is wonderfully complex, unique, striking, and different. The Hebrew word that is used there in the psalm where he says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the idea is that there is no one else like us. We're very unique. And all you got to do is think about your fingerprints for a moment. We all have fingerprints and nobody else has fingerprints like us. When I showed cattle at the fair and stuff, at the Ohio State Fair, there was quite a few years that they did nose prints where we did a nose print on a steer and put it on a thing and you mailed it in because nose prints are like fingerprints. They're all unique and different on cattle, just like on our fingerprint. So, and the whole idea is that God is actively shaping each of us. So if you look at somebody else and say, man, I just wish I had it together like so-and-so. We've probably all done that at least once in our lives. But that's so-and-so. That's not us. God is making us the way God wants to make us. And we're unique and different for a reason. And God is actively shaping our lives in love. With every turn of the wheel, God is shaping us. And here's the thing I want you to see. And this is why God is actively shaping us. Because God's vision for us extends beyond the moment. Now you might be saying, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. We often see ourselves in the moment. In the moment of what we're going through. Maybe at times it's a joyful thing and see ourselves in that and we have an exciting view. And then there's other times when we see what we're going through or what we're facing or the report we heard or whatever it may be. And we have this tendency to judge ourselves in the moment because we don't see the big picture. But God's vision exceeds the moment. God's thoughts are precious towards us. God sees our beginnings, what we were, as the psalmist says, and our ends, what we will become. And in fact, the psalmist says that God knows our days and how many days we have and what that is. So God knows what it takes to form us and shape us and do that work. So God is deeply invested in us. And you know what? Because the passages don't talk about it, but Paul does. Paul talks about how costly we all are. How important we are, because that's why he sent his son Jesus. And why he gave his life. So that we could experience eternal life. And now Paul talks about how we're being shaped into the image of Christ. And all of this. So God is deeply invested in us. Second thing I want us to see, then, if God is doing all this shaping and working, has invested in us, then we must remain pliable in God's hands. In other words, if God's the potter and I'm the clay and I'm on the wheel and God's got the wheel turning and God's cutting off a little here and cutting the shape a little here, smoothing out here and so forth, the natural tendency is to want to jump off the wheel. And if you're like me, nobody likes to go through hard times in life. But that's just life. We all know that we go through hard times, that life can be difficult. And God shapes us. Listen to me. God shapes us the most when we go through the difficult times. And if you're like me, you know what's funny? It was funny. I'm just going to share this because I know you'll understand where I'm coming from. So when I was 26, and I was at my very first church I was pastoring, here I am enthusiastic with all these ideas, and I faced a church that was much older, and they didn't like change. And I kept trying to tell them that change is a part of life, and that's what it's all about, and so forth. And my second church, I understood that and talked about change and da-da-da, because that's what pastors do. They build vision and so forth and so on. But as I've gotten older, guess what I've started to become? Yeah. I don't like change. Because you start to become comfortable. But God is always working with us and wanting to shape us. And Jeremiah, if you read down further into Jeremiah and through the rest of it, Jeremiah basically says that the clay usually resists the potter's hand. Because the natural force of the clay on the wheel as it spins and the potter is always pressing against God's hand or the potter's hands. So if you feel like you're resisting, and I know, and I've heard preachers preach it, I've heard Christians say it, don't think of yourself as resisting God and not wanting to do anything with God anymore. Realize that maybe when you're feeling that way, God is pressing on you and shaping you, and that natural tendency to resist. I don't know about that, God. I don't know if I can do that. That God is shaping you in that moment. Perhaps we could say that it is normal for the clay to resist. And that leads me to this. Oh, I forgot to put that up there, didn't I? It's often in our nature to resist change. Sorry about that. But that leads me to this. God exercises great wisdom in shaping our lives. I see it at the high school for art. I saw it when I was in school working with clay. I saw kids that were working and they would get frustrated and they would get angry and they'd go and they'd start all over again. Now, God may reshape us. There may be times when God may completely rework us and maybe even start over, as Jeremiah implied. But God uses wisdom and gentleness and love when God does that. And you know how God does that? Just like the potter does. Remember I said something about the water or that real wet clay? In Scripture, water is a symbol for a couple things. Number one, it's Paul talks about it, washing us with the water of the Word. The teaching of the Word, Scripture, when we're taught the Word, it washes us. It works in us. That's one thing. So when you're feeling dry, I our natural tendency is when we're feeling dry and our faith is waning, we want to stay away from church. But that's the opposite of what we need to do. We need to come to church so we can get that water that softens us up and makes us pliable so that we can keep going on. Water is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is a part of this, as Paul says, that working us and forming us and shaping us. But then, God sometimes, so when the clay gets too soft, too wet, we sometimes add some dust to it. Now, I'm not saying that God adds dust to us, but God may allow dust. And the dust may be the difficulties and hardships we face in life. Because those are the kind of things then that God uses to shape us. As we remain pliable, we become shaped and centered in God's hands. So that God can bring about something beautiful with our lives. I like this picture, and this is the very last picture I'm going to show you, and I hope you can see it there. It's kind of hard to see, but what he's working on there is almost done. But I want you to see the hands of the potter here. Are they clean? No. When God is working on us, we are all over God's hands as God shapes us. Let me close with this. Clay work is messy and surprising. And the potter gets dirty with us, runs risks with us, and faces failure with us. If you read further down into Jeremiah, you'll understand that. Until God completes what God has begun. And Paul tells us that what God began in us, God will bring it to completion. Stay pliable in the hands of the potter. God is shaping us into masterpieces. The potter and the clay. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment or so and shake a couple hands and say hi to one another. And then we're going to sing that significant song here, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. So, take a moment. I mean, maybe she's in Indiana. Sing it through twice. When we get to the ending part, you'll understand about molding and making me and using me. So let's sing that. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Make it your prayer this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. let's join together for our benediction there. Before our births, we were wonderfully formed. Let this day of worship send us forth in blessing, favor, and peace in God's service, or in service to God and others. Amen.